All right, let's hit it.
Great pressure here from the Maple Leafs. Power play. Riley on the left wing side. Up to Marner again. Top of the circle. On to Matthews. Holds a pass in, deflected by Nylander. Over top of the goal. Another chance for Willie. Another shot stop. Tavares scores!
Welcome back to the Leafs cast.
Yeah, that's a welcome back long overdue, wouldn't you say?
I don't even want to know the last time that we potted. We have excuses. We've been very busy.
Firing Tim.
Well, it's just we took some time off of, you know, doing this pod. The Leafs took some time off of being an actual good hockey team. And so we decided to come back in hopes that it would inspire the Maple Leafs to do the same.
That's right.
Is that a good enough excuse?
Yeah, I think that we'll roll with it.
Listen, that's the kind of excuses that I was making my whole time at school. Just, you know, anything. It actually feels kind of like a day at school substitute teacher energy because the boss is gone. Tim's out of the building.
Yeah, guy's out of the country. He's off schmoozing with his new wife. So you guys just get to listen to me and Steven today. I know that's what you all wanted. You know, more chip sound bites, less stats and actual factual data. And we're gonna go for it today.
No nerds. Yeah, no nerd right. Stuff, right? Oh, man. All right. So we got a lot to cover here because the Maple Leafs, we're not even going to go into all these games. There's going to be a handful of things we haven't talked about. Listen, we apologize for not potting for a while, but the status of the Maple Leafs right now, just we needed to hop on here to talk about it because especially after a game like last night, things are not going well. Ryan, You seem furious about the Maple Leafs right now.
I don't know. I mean, we had expectations for this team over the past number of seasons, and it seems every year we thought, like, it's going to get worse. We're losing, you know, Hyman. We're losing Campbell. Like, we're losing all these great players that were part of our previous teams, and somehow we found a way, and every season we were actually better, and we just kept on getting better and finished higher in the standings and made it to game seven again and just didn't make it. And then last year we made it past a round, and this year we're coming into it thinking, like, man, like, again, it just doesn't look like all the pieces are gonna fit. We're have taken a lot of risks, but who knows, maybe we'll be better. And we are not better. We are a far lesser team. And our record over the past five or six games shows it. We've really been struggling.
Haven't taken a lot of risks, you'd say, right? They haven't they went into the season so differently, which is what we talked about in the off season when we look at our first off season with Tre Living, and he brings in guys like Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi and John Klingberg and Ryan Reeves, and then that was it. So different than the Dubas years where we would have 10 different, you know, new guys in here on 1 year deals. No, Tre Living shot his shot, and it's been misses because, like, where the team, maybe, you know, I don't know if you have not been paying attention to the team at all, we're sounding like the Leafs are the worst team in the NHL. They're not that. They're essentially a middling team right now. And I think that's kind of the floor that you're going to get with this team as long as you have the core four, the superstars, the John Tavares, William Nylander, the guys you heard on the highlight at the beginning of this podcast, right?
I'm not so sure, though. Like, you say that's the floor. Right now we have Austin Matthews is going at something like a 92-goal pace. We have William Nylander, who's, I think he's tied with Nathan MacKinnon for active players of the record for the longest point streak to start a season. Like, he's playing the best hockey of his career. Marner's heating up. Tavares is having a better team. Like, Riley's still great. All of our best players are playing the best that they've played for a long time. And we're still middle of the pack. Like, you're not going to get anything more from them. And they're the players that you're hoping to carry this team. They're doing it. They're carrying this team. And this is as far as they could take us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They, I think, have all delivered. And this is where we're at because they're getting nothing from anywhere else. If we were getting something from anywhere else, then I think we'd be doing a lot better. Right. I don't know. It cannot be overstated enough how poorly these signings are going, and could be worse. Like, we could be looking at just like tons of multi-year deals for a lot of these guys. That's not the case. But, like, in the short term, it changes the outlook for this season if things don't change really soon. I mean, as we record this podcast right now, Max Domi, who's the one I really just can't stop thinking about. I was literally thinking about him the first second when I woke up this morning. He has not scored a goal all season. He actually hasn't even scored a goal since he didn't score a goal like his last eight playoff games of last series as well. He hasn't scored a goal since May 9th against Seattle. That's a long time. A lot of things have happened, Ryan, since May 9th.
It's very concerning. It's kind of funny. We went into the season and thinking that there might be a lot of problems for the Toronto Maple Leafs, defense being a big one. Goaltending was a bit of a question mark. The coach was coming back. We weren't too sure about that. But I don't think any of us were too concerned that offense was going to be an issue. And even the pieces that Brad Treliving brought in, be it Klingberg and Bertuzzi and Domi, they, if anything, should have made us a better offensive team than we've been in the past,
yeah,
at the cost of being worse defensively and giving up more. And now we're going to start winning games 5-3 instead of 3-1 or so on and so forth. But it hasn't been the case. And yeah, for Domi especially, I mean, you kind of see him getting a little something with Nyes, and now he's having a little something with Robertson. So maybe it's just a case of you got to put him with guys who can score, and who cares that that line will be atrocious defensively. At least they'll put up some points on the board. But it's, you know, 12 games in, and I think he only has picked up points in two of them so far.
Yeah, I think it's like 4 assists. And I mean, what are we, 12 games into the season? I think, 13 games into the season. Like, I cannot get over the fact that he hasn't scored a goal yet.
Yeah.
Like, when's that going to change? Is he going to heat up at some point? If not, we're looking at like a, you know, 8-goal season or something like that out of him. So, yeah, just like so concerning. And then you talk about Bertuzzi, who I have a little bit of a different feeling about. I don't know that he's necessarily as like brain dead defensively, and he's still making some plays offensively. Like, he did finally get, I think, his second goal of the season last night. I have a little bit more faith that he might eventually turn it around. And plus, I think he has a longer record of, I don't know, I guess NHL success.
Here's the thing. I would actually say I'm more concerned about Tyler Bertuzzi than I am about Max Domi, partially just because of what we are allocating to them on the cap, right? I think Max Domi makes like $3 million and Tyler Bertuzzi makes 5.5, almost double what Max Domi makes. So like, Max Domi is supposed to be our third line winger or third line centerman as we're trying him out right now. Although I don't think that that was the original plan for him. And if he goes through, like, if assuming that these guys have to pick up, there's no way that Max Domi is going to end the season with 0 goals and like 20 assists. Like, they'll figure something out. So assuming he's able to put up a few more points than he is now, that's about what we're expecting for our third line, probably more offensive winger. If anything, maybe a little bit under, but not the end of the world. For Bertuzzi, though, like on our last pod, which we titled Overreactions for a reason, we're like 2 games into the season and we are overreacting to stuff. But I remember I said that line of Bertuzzi, Matthews, Marner could be the best line in the NHL. And Matthews and Marner are certainly delivering on that side of things. But Tyler Bertuzzi did not look good at all with those guys. And you could tell it really soon. You remember how like fast we figured out that Nick Ritchie just did not work on that line, and how equally fast we figured out that Michael Bunting did work, and that just whatever style of games they played, just some players can work with the big boys and some players can't. And it became very clear very quickly that Tyler Bertuzzi doesn't work with Matthews and Marner. And then they moved him down to Tavares and Nylander, and Tavares started the season on like I think he got up to 7 or 8 games in a row where he was racking up points and looking great. And then Bertuzzi goes on the line and all of a sudden he starts cooling down, and Nylander's still doing Nylander things, which thank goodness, because him and Matthews are keeping the ship afloat right now. But Bertuzzi, it's looking like he can't even stick in the top 6. And if you have to put your big offseason acquisition, $5.5 million man on the third line to like maybe get something with like Domi and Robertson, that's not good. The way that our team is built, we can't afford to be having big cap hits like that underperforming as much as Bertuzzi is.
So different than previous seasons, right? So different, where Like we talk about guys like Bunting and previous guys that have been in those spots where they come from somewhere and generally have the best season that they've ever had playing for the Maple Leafs, and then they end up going somewhere else. We've now taken guys who have all had better seasons everywhere else, and they're now having their worst season of their careers here. It's kind of unexplainable. I mean, it is just 13 games. There is a lot of hockey left to go, but it's not like it's impossible that a move could be made or something more drastic. I mean, the Oilers just put Jack Campbell on waivers yesterday. Like, teams that are fed up with stuff are fed up with stuff. Trades have been happening. I suppose it's possible the Maple Leafs moved on from some of these guys. Or I don't know. I mean, the structure of the team's changing a little bit. We got a lot to get into.
Well, part of the problem, like, it wasn't that long ago that Tyson Barrie was on this team. And you saw it from now. I mean, it's a little bit different because that was under Mike Babcock to begin the season. Then it switched when Keefe came in. But you saw it pretty early on that it just wasn't working with him. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but you think maybe we should have just moved on from him when earlier in the season, when maybe he still has some trade value, when we bring someone else in on another team that's also not having a good fit there. Like, sometimes just a change of scenery is all you needed. But we decided to keep him, and guess what? It just never got better throughout the rest of the regular season. And you think maybe just over some time, get some confidence, maybe Bertuzzi can turn it around. Like you said, he has the track record. We know he can do it. He did it on Boston last year for a bit. He did it on Detroit before that. We know that he has the tools. I just haven't seen anything remotely close to showing me that he can do them here, that he will do them here.
You're talking about the Leafs struggles, though, you know, offensively as a whole. I do have a couple of numbers for you, okay? I know Tim's not here, but I got a couple of numbers that these are kind of shocking just to show maybe how middling or below average this team is in general. So puck possession, they're sitting 17th in the league. And that shows, I mean, one thing I take away from watching all these games this season, it feels like the Leafs never have the puck. I am surprised it's even that high.
Leafs, and that's wildly different than previous years. Like, I remember as soon as Sheldon Keefe came in, puck possession was everything.
Yeah.
And you saw it, especially on the penalty kill. Like, we wouldn't just dump it in. We would try and hold on to it and kill some extra time. Like, just making those extra choices was something that he prioritized. That is crazy how low that is.
A couple others. Expected goals, we're sitting at 46.3%. That's good for 25th in the league. Scoring chances, 46.6. That's 23rd in the league. High danger scoring chances, 44%. That's 27th in the league. And so those kind of things, you're probably not going to get very far with, even if you have a really good defense. The Leafs also do not have that right now. There are problems. There are problems right now. Things that the Leafs have done, though, to maybe hopefully fix that, just coming into today. Thank God we potted tonight and not last night. So today at Leafs practice, they made somewhat of a big move, moving John Klingberg, who struggled. We can get into that a little more, but he's now out of the top six defensemen. He was skating on the fourth unit with Connor Timmins today. And there's a potential, actually, of even going into the next game that they could go 11-7, is what I heard, with Ryan Reeves, another signing who's been struggling, sitting out the lineup. So it's not like Keefe's staying stubborn, right? He's definitely willing to change some stuff up, and I like that. But, oof.
I remember because last season we went 11-7. I forget why. Maybe it was because of injuries, or I forget the reasons why we went 11-7. We did it for quite a bit, though, in the second half of the season.
Well, we had 12 defensemen. I think that was part of it.
Oh, you might be right. Did we do it in the playoffs for a game? I can't remember. Ooh. Either way, I remember saying on the pod when we were doing it so often that I think for any team, when you go 11-7, it is a failure on the general manager in constructing the team. You should have the optimal roster is 12 forwards and six defensemen. And if you didn't do a good job, so you have not enough good forwards and you got to have extra defensemen because your 12th forward, aka Ryan Reeves, super sucks, then it is your fault as a general manager for not doing your job and making a balanced roster. And if that's what we're already at 12 games into the season, not even because of injury. Like, we're saying we're going 11-7. We have three defensemen injured right now. And so, like, our 9 and 10 defensemen are better than our 12th forward? Like, what the heck is that? That's seriously concerning to me as a makeup of this team, if that's the direction we're going.
I like how the different opinions there. I'm like, Keith's trying out some different stuff. He's going 11-7. Ryan's like, we're going 11-7. The season's over.
Well, you're not wrong, Steven. Like, something needs to change. Like, and credit to Keith, because he's always been good at it. Like, he'll adapt on the fly and switch stuff up, think of stuff that we don't think about, but it's still not great.
Ryan Reeves, a -9 to start the season, by the way, and not even playing very much, and he's a -9. He was on for a goal against last night. Something's got to change, though, because, you know, right now the Leafs are fifth in their division, right? And it's certainly not looking like it's going to be a cupcake division, right? Like, Boston is better, I think, than a lot of us would have thought. I guess everybody.
Well, Boston and Tampa, like, we thought that they were both going to be going away, and nope, they're the best two teams again.
Yeah, Florida's no joke. And then the Red Wings too, right? Second in the division. So, like, you can't finish fifth in your division and make the playoffs, I don't think.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, outside of his inability to play hockey, here's the problem with Ryan Reeves on this team. The biggest problem is that Brad Tree Living signs the guy to a 3-year contract worth $1.3 million. It's got to be tough for Sheldon Keefe to say, we're not going to play this guy, right? Like, you're year one out of 3 years. It's the shiny new piece that your brand new boss just brings in. I don't even know if Sheldon Keefe is allowed to say, I'm not going to play Ryan Reeves. He's played all 13 games so far, definitely not deservingly so. There's no way he should be in there over Robertson. By the way, Nick Robertson, one of only four of our forwards who are not part of the core four who have a goal this season. It's just Robertson, Gregor, Nyes, and
Yarncrook.
That's it. Those are our non-core four forwards who have a goal now. But either way, the problem with having Ryan Reeves on our team is he makes David Kampf completely useless. Because you can't play David Kampf on a third line unless if your fourth line is going to generate some offense. And our fourth line's not generating any offense with Ryan Reeves down there. So David Kampf is a third line center. We've seen it. It just makes Domi useless. It makes Nyes useless when he was there. Like, it just doesn't work. You could have David Kampf be a third line center if it's a hard checking line, and that's the point. But we don't have enough scoring if that's that. So he has to be our fourth line center. And now you're paying like $2.2 million to David Kampf to be a fourth line center to have just like hopefully not get scored against when you're out there. There's no way that line is generating any offense. He's definitely not doing a great job defensively because he has anchors out there like Ryan Reeves on his wing. And all of a sudden you have a majorly overpaid fourth line winger in Reeves. You have a majorly overpaid fourth line center in Kampf. And that just amplifies the problems elsewhere when we have a majorly overpaid Domi, Bertuzzi, and Klingberg on our team as well. It's just, it's not the bottom half of our lineup. I don't see the way out.
Well, the way out is swallowing the pride and moving on. You bring up, does Keefe even think he can not play Reeves? I wonder about that. That's something I hadn't really thought about. Like, Keefe, you know, he's got a new GM. He wasn't certainly like 100% safe, right, coming into this job. And he maybe thought there was a small chance he could have gotten fired or something like that, right? And maybe that is a little bit of him trying to, I don't know, build a stronger relationship with Brad Tree Living and hopefully stay in Toronto, that he's choosing to do this. But like, at some point, somebody's got to say it's time to move on from, just like the Oilers did with Jack Campbell. That was a huge decision. Because this guy, he just can't play. Again, -9 for the season. I haven't seen really one thing that he's done well offensively with the puck, or really even defensively besides running into his own players.
Well, he hasn't even been out there for a goal that we've scored. He's been out there for 0 times we scored the goal, and 9 times he's been on the ice when they scored against us. It's unacceptable.
And there's no Revo effect, right? I was guilty in the previous pod talking about how I was excited about the the Ryan Reeves effect. And I think he had fought every game of the season then. I'm not sure that's happened in like the last six games or something. Brad Marchand takes a run at Timothy Liljegren. You don't feel the Revo effect after that.
Nothing.
There's just nothing here. And then it's not like you can't pull out. If you pull out Ryan Reeves, there's no one to bring in. We have guys like Bobby McMahon, who's healthy now, could be ready to go. Alex Steeves. I mean, we talked about Nick Robertson here, right? Nick Robertson just got put on the team the last two games. He's already got a goal,
yep.
Scoring chances in the first game. Like, bringing in some of these hungry guys from the AHL is going to make a difference, I think. And really, I think, like, Noah Gregor hasn't gotten maybe enough praise so far on the spot. I've actually liked his game. And you talk about David Camp, who we know what he can bring. Hasn't had a great start to the season, but it's because he's got this anchor. You bring in a guy like Bobby McMahon, Alex Steeves, somebody.
Anyone. Claim someone off waivers. Like, there's no...
Campbell.
The number of players who would be below Ryan Reeves, I think, is minimal. And it's tough to even fault Bradtree Living on what he was trying to do bringing him in, because it's the same thing he was trying to do when bringing in Domi and Bertuzzi, right? He used the word snot. We're adding snot to this team, that this isn't going to be the team that just lies gross down and lets you walk all over you. It's gross. Yeah. It, like, we're going to have some snarl, some fight back. Like, we're going to make it tough on you. I haven't seen that from any of those guys. Like, I saw Reeves, other players fight him two games of the season in games one and two.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him even, like, hit someone after that. It's just been a whole lot of nothing. Like, is he injured? Like, it's just so not what was advertised. We knew he was going to suck, although he sucked more than that. And he hasn't brought any of that fight or, like, and it hasn't been contagious. The rest of the team doesn't do it. We're having the same conversations we had every year where the team just sits around and lets Boston walk all over them. Like, it's just completely pointless what he has brought to this team.
I'm not really sure, too, how you get out of the get out of this situation at this point of the season, right? Because, like, trades, you know, if you're trading a guy like that this season, like, it's going to a team that's already trending like they're not doing anything, right? And I'm not sure the San Jose Sharks are going to be trading for him. And there's just not – it's too early. Like, I don't know. That's what Tree Living's here for. And, like, if he wants to, I don't know, save a little bit of his reputation, which is looking pretty poor right now, he needs to figure out that one, because that's the big thing. I don't know. You guys were right. I am never wrong in this pod, but on this one, I was wrong that this was the wrong move. I was, and maybe secretly I thought it wasn't the best at the time, but I was optimistic, right, and trying to make the best of a sort of bad situation. But this is just a bad situation that I'm not sure we're going to be able to fix.
I mean, the good news is that it certainly couldn't be any worse than it is right now for Ryan Reeves. So maybe he is injured. Like, maybe that's why he's not fighting anyone. And maybe he'll pull it around come playoffs. Like, at the end of the day, when we're looking for this size and team toughness and stuff, really the time that we really want to see that is in the playoffs, right? So yeah. I don't know if he's going to stick around that much, but maybe it's unfair to pass judgment on the guy until after we see another seven games out of these guys.
Okay, so that was a little bit of the bad offensively. We'll get to the defense. Let's talk about a little bit of good here.
All right.
Keep some of these fans listening to the
pod here. Hey, something that was good. We were actually at the game when Toronto was facing Los Angeles Kings. The game wasn't good, but we ran into a fan when we were there. Huh? Deha? Remember Deha, Steven?
I do. I was in line to get my bacon-wrapped hot dog.
That's
and,
right.
And that was, to that point, the highlight of that Maple Leafs game.
That's right.
Yeah, Deha stopped by, said, hey.
Anyway,
that loves the pod.
That's the extent of the positives, right? That's all we got?
No, I got some stuff. But yeah, shout out to Deha. Well, we talk about the Leafs right now and how Tyler Bertuzzi off to a poor start. They tried out Yarncrook on the top line, not really working out great. So unlock Matthew Nyes to the top line. I think he had his second game up there last night. And he had I'm running out all these numbers. I think he had a 4-point night on the previous game, really heating up. And you talked about Tyler Bertuzzi maybe being able to make that line the best line in hockey. I think with Matthew Nyes alongside Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, that could be the best line in hockey. He's got it.
Yeah. I mean, putting it all aside, what's making it the best line of hockey is Matthews and Marner. Like, they're obviously magic on their own. But like I said with earlier, with you just tell pretty early that Bertuzzi doesn't have – he can't stick with those guys. And Bunting, you saw pretty early that he could. You could just see it. Like, Matthew Nyes just fits on that trio. He can hound the puck. He can be the recipient of Marner's passes or Matthews' passes. He can set them up. Like, he just seems to work. He has the speed, the IQ. It just looks great when he's out there. And he put up the points against Tampa. I like that guy. Every time we play Tampa, he's good.
He is a great passer. That is a difference between him and Bunting and some of these other guys that have been up there too, is like some of the passes he's making to Matthews, remarkable. I mean, you got two Arizona boys on the top line of the Maple Leafs.
Yeah,
a couple of 6'3" Arizona guys, a couple of big cactuses.
That's right. That's a
positive. Isn't it nuts too? Like, this guy was playing college hockey last year. Now he's on the top line playing against two of the best, or playing alongside two of the best players in the league. So, I was kind of thinking more about it though. Like, it's almost like an ejector seat, or no, what is it? A parachute? Something they weren't expecting to have to do this early in the season, because Matthew Nyes has been up there before. We've known that it would work. But when we talk about that Domi's not working out and all these other places where they've tried Matthew Nyes in the lineup before putting him up there, it's like, hey, this guy's a weapon. We got to use him to get Domi going. Like,
yeah.
Well, okay, this isn't working. We got to at least get something out of Matthew Nyes here. So I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
it's huge, really. Like, you do the best, like in free agency, you put out the big bucks to bring in guys. Right? That's why you bring in Domi and Bertuzzi and such. But at some point, you need to rely on your own player development. And that's where we have guys like Liljegren, who's unfortunately injured right now. But he looks like a top four defenseman. Like, I'd probably put him at number three on our depth chart in deep, which is massive for us. Like, we're so short back there. We'll get into D eventually here, but like, you just need that, because like, not many of our other first round picks have either panned out or are still around. Like, we traded Sandin, and then you have Robertson and Nyes, who are second round picks. And the fact that they're on our team being impactful players is just massive. Like, that's partially why Tampa Bay had such a strong run for so long, because they're picking up guys in the second, third, like close point, the fifth round or something. Like, you need to be able to draft well and have players, good players, for cheap on your roster if you want to stay competitive. And that's exactly what Matthew Nyes is doing. He's providing well over his cap hit on the top line right now.
I would argue Austin Matthews and Matthew Nyes are the only two 6'3 players out of Arizona ever drafted, and they both hit. So I would say it's a safe bet next time one pops up.
That's right.
And if he's got Matthew in his name, that's even better. You draft the guy.
You got to move on it fast.
So William Nylander, he's scored a point in every single game this season. And we've got a note down here. Is he pricing himself out of Toronto?
What do you think? Do you think that, like, we obviously don't know exactly what the numbers were that were dividing Tree Living and Nylander's camp for getting a contract done. But do you think now Nylander is saying, hey, I was asking for, you know, 9.7, now I want 10, or now I want 10.5 or something. Like, do you think Nylander's number's going up, or is Nylander just saying like, no, you see, I was worth it this whole time, pay me? Or like, where do you think that's even at right now?
Well, I mean, we do not know at all where these negotiations landed, and it's not a gold star on Brad Tree Living's record so far that this deal didn't get done in the summer, because it does just get a little bit more complicated now. I think a lot of it comes down to, does he actually want to stay here? And I genuinely think that he does. I think he genuinely wants to stay in Toronto, and he likes being like a big star and everybody knows who he is. But I can see him being the highest paid player on some random team come July 1st, and he's going to be their new superstar player, because I don't see the Maple Leafs, especially where they're at right now, that like, we don't know what could be coming up. I don't feel good about the fact that he might be here past this season, just because like, he's playing so well, he's in the prime of his career, and he deserves that bag. Like, he's playing this season like the guy that, if he was getting all the minutes that a Matthews and a Marner was getting, he'd be having maybe an even better season. Points in every game. And it's not like it's like he looks like he's the best player on the Maple Leafs. I guess the points in every game thing is just kind of a fun thing that's going on. Like, he's far from, you know, like playing like the best player in the league. That's kind of Auston Matthews, honestly, like right now.
He has definitely cooled off a little bit. Like, for the first five or six games of the season, I think you could argue, even though Matthews started with back-to-back hat tricks, Nylander was probably our best player. I don't know if you would say that he's been our best player. Like, it's probably been Auston Matthews. He's been fantastic out there. But I think that I wasn't expecting coming into the season is how good Nylander and Tavares would look together this year. Because we've seen that so many times with so many pieces on their wing, and it just never seems to work. And again, it's still kind of early. It's still only 13 games in the season, but it's showing no reason why it's not going to keep working. Like, they just seem to find each other on plays, and JT's just pounding into points in front of the net. Like, he's having himself a great year. Nylander, it's just, it looks like between Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, they're all going. And you're right, what you said before, that if we can get some more production further down and get some team defense, then maybe that will round us out. But you have to think that the rate at which at least Matthews and Nylander are going at is probably a little unsustainable. They're not going to, Matthews isn't going to score, you know, 90 goals, and Nylander's not going to score 60. So we do definitely need to see it coming up as more of a team effort here, as opposed to just those guys. But it has been very fun to watch.
I don't know about Auston Matthews not scoring 90. He's got a goal a game this season, I think. And he's absolutely electric. It reminds me of a couple seasons ago. Maybe it's because Connor McDavid's having less of a good season, kind of his worst season so far, but like, it looks like a Hart Trophy potential year for Auston Matthews, especially just like the way that he's scoring in all these different kinds of ways. And like, even that game we went to where we were playing against the Kings, the Leafs had nothing going on. I don't think Auston Matthews ended up with a goal in that game, but he's doing things all by himself. That goal he almost had last night,
it was so good.
Dangles the sprawling defenseman flying across the ice, and oh, if he had potted that one in, that could have been a goal of the year candidate. That thing was sick. How does he do that at his size? My goodness. We're lucky to have Auston Matthews. Okay, do you want to get into the defense here?
I
hate that we're getting so negative, but these things cannot be ignored. So you go into the game last night, Leafs have it tied up 3-3 at one point and absolutely fall apart, and it's the defense playing poor defense and the offense, the forwards not, you know, helping. But when I look at a goal where I think Klingberg was on for three of them against and just so out of position, I know the Leafs are banged up right here, but what do you think can fix this situation? Is it a new guy coming in? Is it what's going?
Here's
is it
the Keith? Thing. Well, here's the thing. You brought up John Klingberg, because I, again, on our Overreactions podcast, I said, hey, listen, this guy has been pretty good so far, and he's probably the best of our new acquisitions. He had 5 points in the Toronto Maple Leafs' first five games. Do you know how many points he's had in the subsequent eight games?
Nice subsequent drop.
Zero.
No.
0 points. He got all of his points in the first five games. He's been held nothing since then.
And he's on the power play.
He's -8 on the season. And he has 5 points. That means he's been on the ice for 13 goals against. That's math. Tim would be so proud of me. He's been brutal over the last eight games. So bad. I can't even think of the last defenseman that's been as bad as John Klingberg. Nothing offensively. The worst I've ever seen defensively. He's on the third pair. It's a big jump going from your 5-6 defenseman to your top four. That's why top four is talked about all the time, because they're the guys who get tough matchups. Your 5-6 defenseman almost exclusively go against the other team's fourth line, sometimes the third line. And it's like all in the offensive zone. You don't get like penalty killer. You don't get defensive zone draws. That's what Klingberg's getting right now. He's getting the gravy, and he's just throwing it on the ground. It's embarrassing. And even like his offensive side, he's just shooting it into like the shin pads of the guys in front of him. And then it's an on man rush going the other way. It's I'm dumbfounded with how bad it's been going for John Klingberg. It is $5.5 million.
It's It's almost where it reminds me of like a Cody CC situation where whoever he's with, it also ends up being just like worse for them. Because when I think of him, I mean, he was with Gio last night, who hasn't had a great season. Now that's instantly our worst pair, right? It's with Lagesson, worst pair.
Yep.
Anybody I see him out there with, it's just like these guys are having a tough time keeping up with him. That's why I commend Sheldon Keefe for doing what he did and sitting him down and moving him out of the lineup. And he's got to slow down maybe and figure out kind of what he's doing. And some of these games, though, too, going back to Keefe, like he's playing the most minutes of any defenseman on our team. So I don't know how you don't, like, I guess just run your top pair into the ground as much as possible and then just pray that Jake McCabe and Timothy Liljegren come back sooner than later. Jake McCabe's looking like he's going to be back, I think, probably tomorrow night or this weekend. But
well, that's where it's tough. Like, I think Riley's averaging like 25 minutes a night and Brody's like 23 minutes a night. Like, these guys are playing big minutes every game, and it's game 13. We have like 70 more games this season. Like, I remember last year in the playoffs how bad Brody was. Like, he can't outwork these guys.
Sure, but I think that's a luxury that you have when you're killing it and you're one of the best teams in the NHL. The Leafs are not that right now.
Yeah.
We need to start getting some wins. Like, I cannot believe that we lost. I cannot believe we lost to the Senators last night.
Yeah.
The Sens are they the worst team in our division? I think they're the worst team in our division. One of the worst teams in the league. And really just – and we made them look so good. You know what? You had a note down here, and I didn't even know if we were really going to go over it. You talk about Keefe being on the hot seat. Some of these things here, is Keefe on, should Keefe be on the hot seat here? Because when we were discussing, like, got to move on from these guys, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and, like, all these things that are going to involve a lot more moving parts than just potentially moving on from the coach. That's the easy thing that could maybe pan out. Is that something that should be getting considered right now?
The last time that we saw a coaching change was Mike Babcock out to bring Keefe in. And you could just see it so clearly that our team was performing worse than it actually was. We could see it as just a couple of schmucks in our living room of what the Leafs needed to do. Matthews and Nylander weren't performing. Tavares and Marner weren't performing. Let's switch it up and put the greatest goal scorer with the greatest playmaker. And Babcock was just refusing to do it. He wasn't getting anything out of Tyson Barrie. It was laughable how stubborn he was in his not working ways. And then they finally made the change. Keefe changed a whole lot of things that just made a lot of sense. And all of a sudden the team was great. With this one, with the way it is going right now, there's not many things that I would look at and say, the reason why the team is underperforming is because Keefe is either not using players properly or he's lost the room or anything. Like, I think that there's very little that I would actually blame on Sheldon Keefe, even though you are the coach and it all falls on you to a certain extent. But I wouldn't say that I'm super confident that if we had a coaching change, other than the initial like couple games where your team gets a little boost, I don't know if it's going to make a big difference. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think it would just still be a little bit early. And the parts of this team that Keefe has figured out ways to maximize in the past, you know, Austin Matthews and the power play and William Nylander, like a lot of these things are working, right? And so I do agree with you. It's just a little bit too soon. But I just wonder, right? Because like then when I look at the defensive flaws here, I'm like, are these guys just not practicing right?
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know. The other night, Huberto gets benched for the entire third period. And it's moves like that that I think a coach can control, where when you see how Max Domi and John Klingberg looked on some of the goals in last night, the goals against last night, you sit them down, right?
I'm glad you brought it up that it's not just the defense who have been sucking defensively. Like, the forwards really need to buy in here. And it reminds me of last season. Early on, we had a whole bunch of defensemen go down as well, except it was even more important defensemen. It was like Brody and Riley that were injured early in the season. And our whole team stepped up defensively and really rallied around that. And we played great and defended great for like a month while they were all out. And that's just not happening right now. And I don't know why, but it's just no one's buying into it. goalies are being left out. We'll have to check up the goalies too. That's definitely something to talk about. But the last thing I want to say about Sheldon Keefe as to why I think he might be on the hot seat is I don't think it's like all the pieces that Brad Tree Living have brought in have all sucked so far, right? We have Bertuzzi and Domi and Klingberg, and even like he signed Kampf to extension. That's not been good. Like it's just, there's a lot of things that are happening that just aren't great. And the moves that we are calling to be made is let's get Reeves off the team. Let's get Klingberg off the team. Like figure out Domi. Like it's these things that are going against what Brad Tree Living's doing. And I'm assuming Brad Tree Living is not like, there must be some sort of butting of heads there between Keith and Brad in terms of what they think the team should be and how it should play. And obviously Brad Tree Living brought these guys in for a reason. And I wonder if he's going to be talking to the board and saying, listen, Keith isn't playing these guys the way that I know that they can play. Like we brought these guys in for a purpose. We want some team toughness. Keith isn't getting it. And I think we need a coaching change. Like GMs always want their own guy. Keith is not Tree Living's guy. So he might be on the hot seat sooner than we think.
Maybe. I mean, but didn't they sign him to the extension?
They did.
Like, you know, the on paper extension or whatever. I don't know. Maybe what Tree Living is he's going to go into, you know, Shanahan's office and be like, listen, Brad, I've destroyed two franchises in the last 13 months.
I tell you, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence how poorly Calgary's doing on basically Brad Tree Living's team still. So it's not great.
It's rough. I mean, it's maybe we are being dramatic. If Tim was here, maybe he'd be acting like we're being dramatic because we are, again, a middling team. We're not the worst team in our division. But when we had a taste of that, you know, winning a playoff round and we want more of that. And right now it's hard to imagine that we're going to be getting that as it stands. We got a lot more hockey to go. We're just at the beginning of November. I saw a post online. It was like, is it possible the Leafs have a round one victory hangover? Is that what you've heard of, a Stanley Cup hangover?
Yeah.
It's a round one victory hangover. I suppose that's possible. You know, you talk about Babs getting fired. It was like around this time, give or take, I'd say about a week. Like it was like a middle of November that Babcock was fired.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Maybe it was, you know.
I don't think it's happening soon. Like I don't feel the same rumblings that we felt with Babcock of like this guy's going to be fired any day now. It doesn't feel like that with Sheldon Keefe. And maybe that's just because, again, like it doesn't feel like it's his fault. But something's got to change. There's too many pieces that are just not working on this team. And maybe the first step is just taking Reeves out for a game, maybe playing 7D and limiting Klingberg's minutes. I don't know, but something's on the horizon that's going to change here, I think.
Well, so it's not like the Leafs have an insane schedule coming up of games. I'm just looking for some ways that things could kind of change here. So they got two games this weekend, and then they go to Sweden.
That's right.
Right. And they get a long break. They're playing three games in, I don't even know, essentially like 10 days.
Yeah.
10, 11 days. Maybe a long road trip like that, a long flight. I don't know how long of a flight it is to Sweden. I really know where it is. Bring some of the guys together. Maybe the theory is true and William Nylander's contract gets announced when they're in Sweden.
Maybe.
I've heard of that theory. Maybe that's Klingberg. Funny. Klingberg's from there. He learns, I don't know. He has his feet touch Swedish soil and things change. It could just be that. I don't know. They need some of the right mojo going.
Well,
here.
Listen, this team has been, which is very different from last year. It's been very bad on home ice. And we experienced that when we went to the game against LA. It was like one of our worst games of the season. But just before then, before the world started ending on this home stretch, they were on a long road trip and they actually played really well on that road trip. They came really close to ending with like a 4-1. I think they lost to Nashville on the last night. So I think it was like a 3-1-1 record, but we played really well and we looked like we were really good and all was right in the world. So maybe a road trip is just what this team needs. They do have to get through Vancouver before they go, which is a pretty tough team. But then they have, just looking here, it's Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago. So I think that we should be okay on, I mean, we need to be okay, right? Like, I feel like these are really important games. If they go like two wins in the next five games, like, it's just going to be more doom and gloom. And we know how Toronto media can get pretty out of control. We are the media. We get out of control, especially without Tim here to keep a lid on it.
Right. We're looking ahead here. Max Domi, again, still without a goal. We got some big holidays coming up. What holiday, how many more holidays will pass before Max Domi has a goal? We have
Steven, I'm going to stop you right now. He's going to have his goal in his next game against Calgary. It's going to happen.
Oh, God.
One, Calgary sucks. Two, I was actually pretty impressed with Max Domi in that last game with Nick Robertson. They looked like a fun duo. So,
Ryan, I think you might be over. What you look at that play and see the goal, and maybe you're all happy with. I look at that play as Max Domi whacking a decent saucer pass.
That was a decent saucer pass.
Quite a ways, I think. Like, that was a tough puck for Nick Robertson to corral and score the goal. That was not in a great position for him.
It was pretty impressive the puck made it to that position, though.
That was a sick goal by Nicky Robb. That was like a one-touch shot, basically. I'm not even sure that it touched the ice for more than, I don't know, a millisecond. That thing was off of the stick and in the back of the net. I'm going to put me down for... Oh, I was going to say Boxing Day. You can't go that much longer. There's no way. That would be like half the season. Some random holiday at the beginning of December. One of those dumb ones, like Friendship Day. That's what I'll say. I think he goes the rest of this month, no goal.
Well, if that happens, then we can all agree to trade him then. Can't go another month. First 2 months of the season, the guy had 60 points last year. There's no way.
I mean, he's played for a lot of teams. Maybe when he's in Sweden, he'll catch on with one of those SHL teams and just that'll be the end of him. We just kind of leave him there.
All right, let's talk about the goaltending here.
So we have a bit of a tandem, right? I mean, it's a flashback to the Bernier-Reimer year, at least at the beginning of the season, where it was like, we have no one has even remotely taken the net.
Yeah.
You got Ilya Samsonov having a rough go, Joe Wall having, I would say, a much better season, but then just sometimes it feels like whoever's playing in front of him is having a rough go, right? Yeah. Like, I don't fault him for some of these goals against, and then some of them aren't great. Like, I think of one last night where he was just out of position. So,
I mean, that Ottawa game, he was quite bad in. That was not a good game for Joseph Wall, but I should think that he's been pretty good in the others.
Mm.
Against that, Samsonov has had maybe like one good game this year and has been just brutal in all the others. And I'm wondering where you're at with Ilya Samsonov. Would you say that you're moved on from him and you're right, he's just anoint Wall and give it to him, or do you still have faith that Samsonov, because he came into the year being our starter and it was supposed to be him number one, Wall number two, maybe Wall would push.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering where you're, have you sold out on Samsonov, are you still with them, like where are you at with Ilya?
Well, things that I think Samsonov still has on Wall is, I think a good example of it was last night, where I think Wall was rattled to the core as that game, as he was starting to let in, you know, four, five goals. Leafs let in, I think, four goals every home game this season, by the way.
Probably.
I don't think that, I'd like to think that the veteran Ilya Samsonov wouldn't be that way. And if we had to roll with this exact tandem the way it stands right now, I'd like having him for the playoffs, which sounds crazy. But just, I don't know, Wall's still so young. But Wall, some of the athleticism that he shows, and I think he's in general been in better position than Ilya Samsonov. So like, and it's just not Keefe's way to continue to not have a guy. He always ends up finding a guy, like picking one and just sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will be, I think it'll be Wall. I mean, Keefe's even been somewhat vocal about it to the media about that. Like, he's, you know, Samsonov needs to be better, and he's been impressed with Wall's game. That said, I mean, we have a back-to-back this weekend. So like it against, you know, one bad team, one good team. So it'll be Samsonov on Friday, Wall on Saturday.
I do wonder how much the arbitration that Samsonov went through with his contract is affecting things. Like, I remember we were talking about it when it was happening, because what it basically is, and for those of you who don't know, he had a contract dispute between himself and Bradtree Living. He's an RFA, restricted free agent. So he went through an arbitrator to basically negotiate a one-year contract just to more or less walk him to UFA. And it was decided on that he gets a $3 million contract that he gets. And what happens at these arbitration hearings is basically Samsonov's representative saying, he's so great, this is why he deserves money. And Bradtree Living, who basically has to sit on the other side and say, this guy is not that good. We shouldn't be paying him that much money.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a messy thing that you have to go through. And then afterwards you get your contract and you have to pretend like you're all friends at the end of it. I don't know, because he's come in and he hasn't looked himself throughout the whole preseason, any of the regular season games he started. He's been pulled twice this season. I feel like we had a goalie pulled twice all of last season. This happened twice in the first 13 games, both to Tampa. So it's not a great start for Ilya Samsonov. I do think you're right. You hit the nail on the head there with the experience part of it. Wall is so, like, he's played like 30 games. Like, the guy's not done anything. And I'm glad that he played a couple playoff games at the end of last year against Florida, because I do think that he's probably going to be our guy come Florida, and he's going to be our guy for years to come. So I kind of want to see what Wall's made of here and get him more experience. Like, I hope that they actually start him the next game against Calgary after he has Wall? This bad game. Yeah, Wall. And just get him right back in there. Don't let him sit on this bad loss. Like, I want to see how he handles it, because I think that he is going to be the guy moving forwards.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I guess, yeah, we'll find that out tomorrow, who's going to be in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, there's only, I think, even been like one example this season of where he's gone with Wall two games in a row. Otherwise, it's been, you know, back to back, back to back. But giving these guys a little bit of credit, I mean, we can all agree, everybody listening to this podcast can agree, the Maple Leafs are not as good of a defensive team as they were last year when Ilya Samsonov was looking pretty good, right? Yeah. So I'm not sure there's a lot of goalies in the league that could be able to hold on and perform well under these circumstances. I don't know. Just like, you had John Klingberg sliding across the ice in front of you and you're trying to make a save.
Yeah. Although you said it, and it was a couple years ago now, I think, on the pod, but on the penalty kill, your goaltender is your most valuable penalty killer. And we've had a brutal penalty kill so far this year. I think we're at some like 25th or something in the league on the PK. And I don't know why, because it's still Dean Chenault, who's the same guy we had last year. We had a really good penalty kill last year. But I wonder if maybe we undervalued someone like Justin Hall, who was pretty brutal in regulation, but he was a good penalty killer. That's something that he did. And we traded him out for John Klingberg, who doesn't penalty kill. So now all of a sudden you have guys who don't usually do that now are having to fill that role. And it showed, like, we let in way too many goals on the penalty kill so far. And I wonder, when we go out in the trade deadline and we're looking for a defenseman, we're going to be looking for a penalty killing defenseman, because we just need help back there. And so many goals that are so important in the playoffs are scored on the power play. We can't be affording to give up two a game.
Jake McCabe's coming back, though. Liljegren's coming back. Lagesson's looked good. I don't know. More time.
I hope Lagesson isn't the solution for our long playoff run. That doesn't feel like a deep Stanley Cup contending team's back end.
Am I crazy? You keep talking about long playoff run. Right. We have to get there still.
I know. Listen, my expectations have been set from previous years with this team, and they are not meeting them so far.
Wow. I want to go on record that I got a good feeling about this Sweden road trip, that the boys are going to get tight.
I do too.
And they're going to come back and be on a heater. And that Willie's contract will be announced in Sweden.
All right. I like it.
Dual 7-year contracts, one for Willie and one for Klingberg. Who else? And one for Yarncrook.
Who else is
Swedish? Lagesson's got to be Swedish. That sounds Swedish.
You could be right.
And Liljegren. Everybody is from Sweden.
Oh, dear. All right. Funny. Are we done?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we covered it all. We're going to be back on the pod way more regularly going forward. Like I said, we got two games coming up this weekend. Then the boys head to Sweden. You'll hear from us very soon. Not from Tim. School's still out.
That's right.
And guy's we're having gone. Fun. And we're having fun. All right. We're wrapping up. Good night. Go, Leafs, go.
That's right.
Go, Lagesson, go.
7 years for Klingberg.
Ryan be like, I'm done with the pod. That's it. We're now a Red Wings pod. We talk about Justin Hall all day. I can't believe you said that, by the way. That's it. Good night.